Hello, this is Maurice Harker. For almost 20 years, we have been building a team of hundreds of clinicians, coaches, mentors, and people just like you who have discovered and love to teach life-changing principles. Our coaches have made a special investment to make sure you can hear these messages. You will hear stories of triumph and healing from specialists and people having a real life just like you. We hope to increase your awareness that you are not alone, and there are so many others who are enlisted in this work to train and heal the whole family. You will find these principles are an amazing synergy of the most accurate, cutting-edge science with familiar gospel principles. We are passionate eternal warriors, and we hope you will join us.
Okay, you're back. Thank you so much for coming back. This is a powerful place. Already before we even started the recording, I'm here today with our eternal warrior life coaches, three of these awesome ladies. I have Kelly and Kim and Rosalyn here. And we've been talking about our topic just a little bit before we started the recording. And already we're thinking, okay, this is so great to feel the spirit together and to be discussing these things. So we are excited today to tell you a little bit about lost battles. What is a lost battle? And what do we do about our lost battles? And it's such a part of our human experience. What are some of the things that come to your mind as you're listening, listeners? If you could be thinking as we're doing this episode, if you could just be thinking, what is a lost battle to you? And maybe what patterns of losing battles do you see in your life? So first, let's talk about, what is a lost battle? So let's see, I forgot to tell these ladies what order we're going to go in today, and that they're welcome to just jump right in whenever they want. But we're going to go with Kelly, Kim, and Rosalyn. So Kelly, what comes to your mind when I say, hey, what's a lost battle anyway?
Having fought the addiction to food my whole life, for me, a lost battle would be a misbehavior with food and that addiction. I struggled for many, many, many years with this. And a lost battle was something that was very difficult to deal with. I would go into a situation feeling like I can be strong, I can say no, I can overcome. And then at the end, when I didn't do what I set out to do, I would be very depressed and fall into a spin. And so for me personally, that's what I call a lost battle in my addiction.
That's excellent. Thank you. Kim, what would you add to your lost
battle? For me, a lost battle can be so subtle. I think it's anytime I act outside my values. It might be, you know, feeling impatient with my family or leaning into the chemicals of self-righteousness, frustration. I slammed the door the other day and that, you know, slamming a door, but it was a lost battle because I knew where I was coming from.
Excellent. Okay. Well, you girls are so awesome. Just, that's so great. Rosalyn, how about you? It's a lost battle.
I like the phrase that Kim used, acting outside my values. And like she said, for me, often it's a thought that I allow myself to listen to and then to let it work in me and create negative emotions. And I think that's most often where it happens, very often it involves pride, how I look at other people and think they should think more like me and get frustrated and impatient with them. And then I'm just not acting. I don't have that love for other people that I need to have if I'm going to be a tool in Heavenly Father's hand. And so, yeah, a lost battle to me is whenever I allow myself to believe a lie that Satan has planted in my mind, and then to let it work in me and change who I am.
Excellent. That's so good. I think I would agree with anything outside my values, but sometimes I do so much better at winning like not having as many lost battles, doing things against my value system. If I have one thing that I'm really working on as far as this is a pattern that you see in you, and when you do this, that's a lost battle. And it's something that tends to, you know, you tend to go to in your brain for the how can I relieve this pain? And one of the things I'm working on right now is a pain I try to avoid. And so a lost battle for me right now that I'm watching is it's a lost battle for me if I feel like I have something important to say, to show up for myself and share how I feel or how I think about that in a certain relationship in my life. And I've gotten myself in this pattern of not showing up for me and not saying in a loving way just what I want to share, what I think needs to be said. And instead, I feel like I'm responsible for the other person's feelings or what they're going to think or how that's going to make them act. And so I've allowed that in my life to kind of affect me in a way that I've thought, hey, you're not showing up for you, and it's making you a little bit emotionally sick. And so right now, that's the pattern I'm working on. When I have a thought to speak and to show up for myself, and I do not, because I start going into that pattern of kind of responsible to not show up so that they're okay. And anyway, it's been a really discerning thing, but that's been an important one to me lately. Is it's a lost battle if you don't show up. And it's as easy as you can go up and say, I would like to talk to you. Or I have something to share. When would that work for you? You know, even just that will work. I don't have to even say what it is I'm going to say, but I have to at least go up and say, hey, I have something to share with you. And it's been a good thing for me to do that. Because as I've analyzed how I've done that for years, I've realized that's a lost battle. That's something that doesn't serve you and that's really hurt you. And so I'm kind of working on that, and it is a lot of work. So just the word analyze, we're talking about lost battle analysis today and catching Satan's lies. And so first of all, why would it be important to analyze a lost battle, right? What do you guys think? What do you think, Kelly? What comes to your mind when you think, well, why would I need to analyze a lost battle?
Well, the most important thing for us to recognize is that we've had a lost battle, and by analyzing it, we can stop the process. We can break the pattern if we can figure out what got us into this mess in the first place. One of our favorite shows to watch when our kids were little was Amazing Race. And it's been going on for 15 years or 20 years. I don't know how long this show's been on, but our kids loved watching it. And one of the things I loved about it was watching these teams after they had a really hard day, they would sit down and say, we've got to quit fighting. How can we stop acting like this? And so it's one of those things that I think really is a key element to our success against the adversary, is looking back and doing these last battle analysis, because it helps us break the pattern, break the mold, so that he cannot keep coming at us in the same way, that we can have more and more success when we just take a minute and analyze, hey, how did I get in this mess?
So good. All right. Yeah. And Kim, yeah, what would you share about why? Why is analyzing a lost battle important?
Analyzing it is like the next step to even being aware. So often we go through life and life just happens. when I first start working with a client and we begin talking about lost battles, I've noticed that either the person is completely unaware that there's any lost battles in their life, like they just don't see it. Everything's good, or everything is somebody else's fault. Or they are hyper aware, but they take it all personally, that they're a bad person, like it identifies their behavior is their identity, and it's not. And so the power of using a lost battle analysis begins to open up both of those views to what's really going on. One, my behavior is not my identity, and I am responsible, but I can change it. And that helps them really step into their personal power and recognize how amazing their agency is. That their agency is being given away at subtle levels. They're not even aware until we do a lost battle analysis and they go, oh, whoa, I didn't even think that, or I didn't even know that. I thought that was my thoughts, and not recognizing that the enemy had already snuck in at that point. Or, you know, just by turning on the radar, that gives you power right there to live more intentionally. When I first learned about a lost battle analysis, something that was so freeing to me was there is no shame. It's not, oh, look what I did, I'm a bad person. Again, equating behavior with identity. But the lost battle analysis is a really cool opportunity to step back and say, okay, let's just look at what happened without a judgment. Let's just look at what happened and let's look what we can learn from it. That it just takes away all the shame, takes away the identity crisis in that poor behavior, and just creates an opportunity to learn. So often we pay high prices with lost battles, that it's really great that we can get something out of it because it was a high cost.
Good point. Yeah. Okay. Rosalyn, analyzing lost battles, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I so agree with everything that's been said. One thing that I found so helpful in the training that I got in doing a lost battle analysis was to look for patterns in my life and to see the things that I was repeatedly doing without really being aware that were leading me to lose my battles. And as it's a very precise step-by-step process to do a lost battle analysis, having that pattern to follow as I looked for the patterns in my life has been so helpful. And I didn't want to do them at first. I was so reluctant. I would just be too busy between classes. So the next time when everybody else was reporting on lost battle analysis, somehow Rosalyn didn't have one. But when I finally just made myself sit down and do it, I realized that was a lost battle I'd had, that I was allowing Satan to tell me, you don't want to do this. You don't have time to do this, because it's been very powerful to see the patterns. Number one, my thought patterns that I allow to create my behavior patterns. And so seeing those patterns, like Kim says, it gives me power to say, okay, I'm going to choose differently now. Instead of doing this, I'm going to do that. And so analyzing it is what gives us that power. As we see the patterns, we can choose new steps to take. We can create new patterns that serve us better.
Oh, good. Yeah, Kim, you mentioned something too that was like, you know, so often we go through our life and we just aren't even aware. Just, you know, that's what I think a lost battle analysis does. Is it allows it allows us sometimes for the very first time to see ourselves clearly. And it is something that we ought, usually if we have lost battles and it's something that we're trying to avoid, we do go to this place of shame. There is something wrong with me. What is my problem? Why can't I stop doing that? And one of the examples that Maurice Harker brings up in the Like Dragons Did They Fight book is athletes or military soldiers, that one of the things that they do, first of all, with an athlete, if they do lose, they turn to a place of, let's watch the film. let's go back and watch the film and see how this opponent defeated me. And that it's not always the most fun thing to do, but if we approach it in a way that's like, I'm just here to observe, I'm a curious observer of myself and what happened. And then learn from that. It's been awesome. And then the military thing that he brings up in the book is that if we go to a place of shame after a lost battle, then often we make ourselves so vulnerable to just be killed by the enemy because we aren't noticing I was in danger. The example he uses is you're in just a military situation where you watch your best friend or your buddy be taken out by the enemy. And he said the worst thing for you to do would be to sit there and cry and give up and just think, oh, well, because that puts you in danger of then also being hurt. And so just that thought of having an awareness that there is a level of healthy respect that we need to have for an opponent or an enemy so that we can turn it around and see ourselves clearly. And so wonderful to put Jesus Christ in this whole scenario. Yeah. So good. Anything coming to mind, Kim?
Understanding the lost battle analysis, I mean, you could just step back and say, hey, what happened here? But when you begin to understand the chemical scale and you can identify the lost battle using the tool of the chemical scale, that will help you increase in discernment and sensitivity to your own physical body, to the voice of the enemy, and to the voice of the Holy Ghost. And there's really so much power in those two together. Mm. Lost battle analysis, if you don't understand the chemical scale, you're still going to get a lot of value out of it. Just step back and say, what happened? But to understand the chemical scale and to step back that way, there's some serious power in that. You're going to uncover a lot of things you didn't notice right up front.
So awesome. Yeah. Rosalyn?
And one thing that we do in the lost battle analysis is the question that we ask is not, what did I do wrong? But the question is, what technique did the enemy use to influence you to do that? And so that's another way to step out of the shame. It's like we're putting the blame where it really belongs.
Yes, that's so good. Yeah, in fact, one of the ways that we refer to a lost battle analysis is a Q5, and it refers to question 5 in the captain's log, which is on page 72 in the Like Dragons Did They Fight book. So I'll just read that Q5 or question 5. When you lost, what technique did the enemy use to defeat you? Is there a pattern? If you could replay the event, what could you have done to beat him? What drills can you do to make sure you win next time if he tries something similar? So good. But yeah, just that statement of when you lost, what technique did the enemy use to defeat you? And then once you, that is such a turn it over there. Like instead of think, wow, look at me, I'm just such a loser, to be to a place of, okay, how did he defeat me, Kim?
There's good news, bad news with a lost battle, right? The bad news is Satan noticed the weakness and he's going to try it again. The good news is Satan's going to try it again. And so once you do the lost battle analysis and you have that knowledge, okay, it's coming again. Let's try this again. What am I going to notice this time? So even if the battle, that same battle is lost over and over and over again, if you do the lost battle analysis, you're going to get better and better. It's just like, you know, doing reps, doing drills. Okay, let's try it again. I'm ready for you this time. Let's try it again. I'm ready for you this time. New tactic, a new strategy putting into play every time. So that's the good news, bad news about losing a battle.
Oh, good. Yeah. And Kim, you mentioned the chemical scale, and really it's identification. It's a tool that we use to identify how much chemistry we're experiencing at what level, and kind of being able to see ourselves just as far as the spin is concerned. How far have we lost our mind? You know, how far are we gone? So can you just remind us, Kim, what do the levels mean? And we're going to kind of walk through the last analysis.
So chemically, a level zero would be your very best self. This is when your chemicals are kind of neutralized. It's whole brain integration. You see other people as people. You feel awesome. You feel helpful. You feel like you're a problem solver. You can emotionally regulate. All of those good things happen at a level zero. It's really easy to notice when you're feeling the Holy Ghost. That's also a level zero. It's kind of a little litmus test there. Level one is just being a little bit off, just a little bit shifted. You feel fine. I always feel fine with the level one. I just don't feel awesome. I just don't feel quite my very best self. So level one is really subtle. Level two is often when we're watching, we might notice a level two is feelings. I feel overwhelmed. I feel, you know, you fill in the blank there. A nice little acronym to help identify is BLAST. BLAST. I feel bored. I feel lazy or lonely. I feel anxious or angry. I feel stressed. I feel tired. So obviously BLAST is not comprehensive on feelings, but it's a nice jumping off point. Or you might even have a false positive. It just feels so good. So level two is feelings. Level three is, this is where the enemy shows up to give you an option. And that lie at level three is always the same. This will make it better. If you're feeling some intense negative emotions at level two, then the level three option, boy, Satan's got a great idea of what will make that better. If you're in a lot of pain, hey, do you know what will make that better? And he presents things outside of our values. If we're feeling a false positive and it just feels so good, you know, scrolling on Facebook or eating Oreos like by the package full or sleeping in, right? So Satan shows up, level three lie is all again the same. Do you know what will make this even better? And gives us more opportunities there. When we begin to engage in that dialogue at level three, of, oh, should I or shouldn't I? Or even starting to present all the reasons why we shouldn't, like we just start to debate it or to defend ourselves. That's an invitation to a level four, a stupid conversation. We've engaged the enemy. And that can be really sly because we think that's our own thoughts. We think we're just debating that with ourselves. Boy, Satan is so subtle on that one. And then the skills tip at level five, we call that the forget it moment. At that point, the whole brain has gone offline. Limbic system has taken over. We're neurally hijacked. Our chemicals have completely shifted. And the scale really goes through 10, 6 through 10, a lot of acting outside of our values, nothing to see there. And then after we do that, then most of the chemicals wash out. We find ourselves back kind of at our baseline. To get back to a level zero takes a lot of intention, a lot of effort. So after a lost battle, we find ourselves back at our baseline. And then Satan shows up again with these thoughts. Oh, you aren't going to do that again. You're such a loser. And here we go again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm convinced that's his favorite spot after the level five, after the lost battle. I think that's his favorite spot to just have a little happy dance about where we're at and try to connect our identity to that. So Kelly, what comes to your mind when you're thinking, where do most people, or when you first started learning about this, where do we start? Where's the natural place that we kind of start noticing, like, oh, anyway, it's just the discerning of it all is tricky when you first began? And when do most people notice?
We notice when all of a sudden, like Kim says, you see that whole package of Oreos and they're all gone, you know? To really notice until it's too late. One of the things I love about this is that we reverse engineer it. We don't try and automatically jump back to where did this really, you know, where it really did start. We start from where we first realized we have just lost a battle. I love that. That's where we get to go. And then we work our way backwards. I love that we talk about not being in shame. I think this is a really important concept for us to talk about. One of the brethren, and it wasn't one of the 12, but one of the brethren in conference, just this conference, talked about the fact that when we have adversity and when we have things happen in our lives, that it's, he reframes it to be, this is an opportunity for growth.
I was going to say, just before we started the recording, we were discussing, you know, scenarios in the scriptures or scriptures or quotes or different things that we have that relate to the lost battle analysis. And you referred to a scripture in Mosiah. Would you mind sharing that? That's pretty great as it goes to lost battle analysis.
This is Mosiah 4, verse 30. And I love this scripture. I absolutely love this scripture. But this much, I can tell you that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts, and I especially love that your thoughts is in this scripture, because that's where Satan gets us, is in our thoughts, and your words and your deeds, and observe the commandments of God and continue in faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of the Lord, even into the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. I love this scripture to help us with realizing we do have to watch what we're doing, what we're thinking, what our actions are. And we have to remember that we have an adversary and he is relentless. But we also need to remember that we have a savior and he is merciful. I hope this is okay if I share this other scripture that I like to talk about when we're doing a lost battle analysis. This is found in Mosiah 26, verse 30. And it says, yea, and as often as my people repent, will I forgive them of their trespasses against me. And when I have to do a lost battle analysis, because I've lost a battle, I love to remember that as I am going through and trying to identify where it is that the minions and Satan have the tactics, like what Rosalind said, that he's using against me, as I'm doing that, I am turning away from my lost battle. I'm turning away from that and I'm repenting. It's part of the repentance process for me. And that as often as I do that, the Lord is saying, he loves me and he'll forgive me. And this is going to help you. And this is where I would love to share that quote. Just as I was contemplating the experience, I was called upon to give by concluding thoughts to the discussion. Among other things, I shared the lessons that I had just been taught. One, I had just been chastened by the Holy Ghost and I loved it because I was the only one who heard it. Two, because of the Savior's sacrifice and ransom, I will no longer refer to my challenges as trials and tribulations, but as my learning experiences. And three, because of his perfect and sinless life, I will no longer refer to my shortcomings and lack of abilities as weaknesses, but rather as my development opportunities. This experience helped me to know that God chastens us because he loves us. And so by having a lost battle analysis, I love that he shared that with us in conference. By having this last battle analysis, we're able to turn these experiences into opportunities for growth. And I love that. I love that thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm not sure where to go right now. I'm thinking, should we do a lost battle analysis? I've been thinking, I need to ask Rosalind, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about over there, Rosalind?
I was thinking about the scripture that we talked about earlier in Alma 43 in verse 48, where These Nephites had been fighting so valiantly, but the Lamanites were overcoming them. And it says they were about to shrink and flee from them. So they were headed toward a lost battle analysis. And I see that happen in my life when I just, Satan often gets me with overwhelm, because it's true. There are hundreds of things I could do that I'm not getting done every day. Mm-hmm. And the overwhelm is real. And one of the things you learn in this lesson is that as the reality of these things he's telling us becomes more and more obvious to us, the more vulnerable we are to him and to that depressive feelings. And so what happened then in the scriptures is that Moroni perceived their intent. He saw they were about to flee. And this is where we want to get in our lost battle analysis, is to see, when does it happen that I'm almost ready to give up? And then he sent forth and inspired their hearts with these thoughts, the thoughts of their lands, their liberty, their freedom from bondage. And to me, that's where the power in the lost battle analysis is, because then it teaches the power of our thoughts and how, even though Satan is working with chemicals in our brain, well, he's working with thoughts. He's placing thoughts that he knows will work the chemicals to make us go to a dark place. If we can use these inspired thoughts that we're creating, that we ask Heavenly Father to help us remember, that's where our power is. And it came to pass, it says, that they cried with one voice unto the Lord their God for their liberty and their freedom from bondage. And that has happened to me when I've been at a really dark place and I'm almost just going to give in. Then I have to cry out to Heavenly Father with one voice, you know, please help me, bring me out of this bondage. But there's power in that, and he does. Mm-hmm. And it was so freeing to me when I realized those battles are because I have a very powerful enemy, but I can win them because I have a way more powerful Lord and Savior and Redeemer.
So beautiful. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love that they, you know, they remembered their why. They used their words, right? And then they really engaged their bodies. So awesome. Okay, Kim, we're coming to you.
I thought what Roslyn just shared was so inspiring.
Right.
I don't know if I have anything else on that. That was just really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, Kim, what do you think, as you have done, because you train a lot of the people who want to learn to teach Eternal Warrior principles, what would you share as far as, because we've talked a lot about why a lost battle analysis, we've talked about the value of a lost battle analysis, and we've talked about kind of some of the things that would stop us from doing a lost battle analysis, but why it's so important to remember, you know, just what that elder said in the conference talk there. And then this incredible, inspiring thing that Roslyn just shared of us being able to recognize when we're ready to shrink. All right. So yeah, Kim, I would just love it if you would just like, take us out with, as you're teaching people about lost battle analysis, what are some of the things you're noticing that are the ahas that people have about it? One of the things I remember you sharing was about identifying, when did you lose the spirit? Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
So what I've noticed in teaching people how to do this is we get so focused on the lose it moment. This is when I yelled at my kids. This is when I turned off the alarm. This is when I, whatever, right? Fill in the blank there. So Satan loves it when we focus right on that, because then we don't see him in the shadows. So that's just like level 5. So when we go back and identify the conversation, when we recognize the first moment that option showed up, that's level 3. The conversation is level 4. The option showing up is level 3. Just like Kelly talked about going backwards, identifying the feeling at level two, the mood, the emotion that we were dealing with before. And then because that level one is so subtle, then we step back a step and we say, okay, I see the feeling or the mood at level two. And then when before that mood battle was the last time I felt the spirit or the last time I felt like my very best self. And then we really want to look right in there to say, okay, what happened? I felt awesome. Like I was saying my prayers this morning, I was on. And here it is, 10 o'clock at night, I've had a lost battle. What happened in between there? And to really notice, okay, I felt the spirit. When did it change? I felt my very best self. When did I shift? And that's the aha moment, was to go, oh, wow, I had no idea that I went from feeling the spirit or feeling awesome, feeling emotionally stable and in control to. So that's, I think that's really the power of the lost battle analysis. Yeah, things happen and we get to a level five, but we want to back it up and say, when you felt awesome last, when did you shift? And here's something really important to note as you're studying the chemical scale and studying lost battle analysis. Being at a level zero does not always mean that you're happy. Jesus was always at his very best self. And he dealt with and experienced all the emotions. But he was always at his very best self. So we can be experiencing difficult things and still be at a level zero. That takes some practice. That's why the training and working with a mentor is super, super helpful, because you're practicing such subtle things. So doing the lost battle is really going backwards to get to the root. When you're weeding your garden, you don't want just to weed whack all the tops of the weeds. You want to get those roots out. And that's the power of the lost battle analysis. Where's the root? When did I shift? What was the belief that I bought into at that point? Where was the enemy pushing me? And then we really get ready for a win.
Love that. Rosalind?
Well, and I just wanted to go to the next verse in Alma 43, where it says, in that selfsame hour that they cried unto the Lord for their freedom, the Lamanites began to flee before them. And I think the lost battle analysis takes us to that place where we finally feel the power over the enemy again.
That's so excellent. And doesn't the enemy want us to just feel the pain of the last battle and then avoid it at all costs, looking at it, considering it, wondering about it? Like, we just want to get as far away from it as possible to try to avoid that horrible feeling after. But when we can, one thing comes to mind is the scripture in Joshua 1:9. I just keep thinking it takes so much courage to stand in our true divine identity. And God really has, it's a commandment. When you talk to Joshua, it was like, have not I commanded you to be strong and of a good courage, to be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And the reason why he says is because I'm with you. Like, all your mistakes are covered. I'm with you wherever you go, even in the darkest, yuckiest, the things you want to run away from and not notice and look back at. If you'll have the courage to step into your power and the power that I give you, because of me, there's power here. And so I just love that, because I'm with you, wherever you go, I can help. And it takes our courage to turn and repent and say, okay, let's look at this. So good. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks, Kelly, Kim, Rosalind. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for being here today. Awesome. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. As you can see, we are very enlisted in what we have learned and hope to teach. If you have found today's message inspiring, please share this podcast with family and friends so others can enjoy and be edified along with us. Be sure to download the free book that holds all the core principles behind what we teach. This book is called Like Dragons Did They Fight. You will find a link for that free download at Like Dragons Free. And remember, you can find all the life-changing resources, programs, and trainings needed for you and your family at lifechangingservices.org.